Hey everyone, let's go Old Testament today, shall we? We're going to be in Exodus 35. That's the second book from the front of your Bible, and you can go ahead and get there now. But here we are at Commitment Sunday, and today the people of God have a chance to demonstrate our faith in God, and I'm convinced it's going to be a great day. We're committing to a 3-year vision initiative that's going to begin with our own lives, that God will transform us personally first. This is the foundation, and so it'll begin by unleashing 3 gifts that God has entrusted to each one of us: our story, our calling, and our finances. And it's our desire over the next 3 years as a church to help each one of you to own your story, to walk in your calling, and to unleash your finances toward kingdom work. But as I said last week, God then takes our transformed lives and He aims them outward. And so He wants to bring transformation to the world around us, through us. And so we're basing these next 3 years on a strategy that Jesus laid out in Acts 1:8, where He said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth." And you're going to see these 4 circles a lot between now and 2021, because these are the 4 areas that we'll be praying for and working toward supernatural transformation. Jerusalem is just your relationships. Judea is your site. Samaria is our city, Erie. And the ends of the earth is our world, especially our global partners. And we have some aggressive goals to help bring transformation in each of these areas. The most notable and the most costly will be a large facility expansion at our Grace Harbor Creek location, where we're completely out of room in our site that's going bonkers right now with growth. And creating a leadership development center at our original church site at 7th and Holland in downtown Erie. There are a number of other incredible initiatives associated with this vision that you can read all about in our brochure materials or online. But we gather today to give to a goal of $2.3 million over the next 3 years toward these initiatives, believing that God is going to do miraculous things in and through us today. Now, if you're a guest, we're so glad that you're here. Next week, we'll be back to normal as things can be on Easter Sunday. But today is going to be a little bit unusual. When we come to the end of, to the time of giving our financial commitments later on in the service, I don't want you to feel awkward. We would never ask you to participate in something that you're just finding out about and before you had a chance to research it or look into our church at all. So I just want to encourage you to stick around, though, because you're going to have a front row seat to see the church be the church and to take some major steps to love people who are outside our walls. And our hearts beat fast and our wallets are open to embrace people who are far from God. And for those of you who are part of the Grace family, the hope is that you would participate today, that you wouldn't just sit this one out, because I believe that God meets us in our generosity. I believe that God is present with us today. He is here. He is moving. He is at work in our church. And we know from the scriptures that God responds to the faith and generosity of His people. He promises to. Which means I believe that God desires to personally encounter many of you today as you step out in faith to give. And so I'm going to unapologetically urge you to go all in on what God intends to do here. I believe He's up to something powerful, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on it. Well, the nation of Israel had also arrived at a moment like this. It was a time that the time had come to build the tabernacle. And so here's what Moses says in Exodus 35:4. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded." Now go down to verse 20. "Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting." Verse 22, "So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedication and an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or goat skins, they brought them." Now look down in verse 29. "All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord." All right, so I'm hoping that there's no tanned ram skins or anything coming up to the offering today. But this example in Exodus provides us with a fantastic lesson, actually five lessons for this Commitment Sunday. Here's the first lesson. The first is that we give in response to God's grace. I mean, you really should go back and read all of chapter 34 to get a feel for what had just happened to these people. God had just renewed his covenant with them. Moses had come down from the mountain with his face all aglow, and the people were reminded of how good God had been to them. Remember that God had done the heavy lifting of their deliverance. He had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. God had led them through the Red Sea. He had guided them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He had fed them manna in the wilderness. He'd given them water from the rock. He'd given them safety from their enemies. He's taking them into the promised land. And God had just demonstrated his incredible mercy just a short time ago with their idolatry and the golden calf incident when Moses was on the mountain, where God should have destroyed them, but instead he showed them incredible grace and mercy. Now, if you're a Christian here today, this is your story too. God has done all the heavy lifting for your deliverance. He went to the cross. He set you free from slavery. He has parted the sea for you many times. He's miraculously provided for you. He has shown grace to you in your times of idolatry and wandering. When you should have received judgment, you received mercy from God. And so guys, today, if you're on the fence about committing to this thing, the starting place is to look back and to see how good God has been to you. Start tallying up his acts of grace and mercy in your life, and soon you'll be asking, how can I not be generous because of how generous God has been to me? How can I respond to this God in a way that shows him how grateful I am, but also allows many other people to receive this same love and grace that I myself have received? And so the starting place of generosity is God's grace. And let me just remind us today, you know, God doesn't need your money. It's not like, you know, you have to give because poor little God is out of money and you need to spot him some for his work on the earth. Guys, nothing could be further from the truth. When Jesus talks about generosity, he's not after our money, he's after our hearts. That's why when somebody says, you know, I'm not going to be part of this thing, I can barely make ends meet as it is, and there are rich people in this church that should, you know, that should take care of it all. They should be the ones who give. You know, when someone says that, I'm positive that they don't get biblical generosity. We're not giving because God needs it. We're giving because Christ has done something in our hearts and he wants to take us on a faith adventure. That's why King David once said, you know, I will not give unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. Because the question is not how much does God need, you know, and then I'm able to supply it. The question is, what kind of statement of my faith and of my gratitude will I make to God through my giving? Because when it costs me something, that's when I see where my heart is. That's where I find out if I really believe all of this stuff. You see, God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And one of the ways that he captures our heart is by loosening our grip on the other things that we depend on, like money, so that he can show us that we can depend solely on him. We're not doing God any favors today. We're simply responding to all the amazing things that he has done for us. So we give in response to grace. Here's the second lesson from Exodus 35. Everyone can contribute. So look back in verse 5. It says, whoever is of generous heart. So I take it back. I guess not everybody can contribute. All the greedy people are excluded, okay? But I'm kidding. Not kidding. Verses 5 through 19, though, are such a beautiful example of just everyone contributing. Big amounts and small amounts, a lot and a little. In fact, you can underline that little phrase in verse 5. Whoever is of a generous heart. And just write, everyone can contribute. Everybody played their part in what God was doing. He wasn't just after a few resources of a few wealthy people. He was after the hearts of all of his people. And that's why I would be much more thrilled with 100% participation in grace in Transform 1:8, even if we didn't hit that 2.3 million mark, than if we got to 2.3 million, but with only a small fraction of our people. Because this vision is about going on a faith joyride with God. And the more people who are involved in that, the better. That's always how it's been for us. You know, a lot of people look at Grace Church and they just think that we have a couple of sugar daddies or sugar mamas that are just bankrolling this whole thing. You know, of all the financial campaigns we've ever done here, we've only had one six-figure donation, and that was exactly $100,000. We don't just have a few people giving millions and millions. This is everybody doing their part. And by the way, I'm praying that we will have a handful of six-figure gifts this time, by the way. I'm not trying to dissuade any of you who are considering that right now. Believe me, okay? But do what you can. Give what you have. It's everyone doing their small part that is going to make this thing go. And I love that in just a moment, for example, our kids and our youth are going to be leading us in giving, showing us that everyone can contribute. Here's the third lesson. We give as we're prompted by the Spirit. Underline this phrase in verse 21 where it says, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him, and just right in the margin, prompted by the Spirit. This isn't saying that we should only give, we should only throw something in the offering plate when you get this tingly feeling inside. No, that's just tipping God. That's not what the Bible instructs us about giving. But I do want you to see that the Spirit of God is deeply involved in the giving process. That's why from the beginning of this thing, we've tried to be very clear that your number one job and my number one job during this whole month is just to listen to the Spirit of God and then do what He says. When God wants to move in His church, He will speak to His people. And He spoke powerfully to these Israelites during this process in Exodus 35. So much that Moses had to come and tell them to stop giving. Over in the next chapter in Exodus 36, 5-7, he said, you know, we're good, guys. We've got more than enough. In verse 6, he actually says that the people were restrained from bringing any more offerings. They got all that they needed. Just one time, Grace Church, just one time while I'm still your pastor. I want to see this one. Anyway, here's the fourth lesson. We give over and above. This is called a free will offering. If you go down to verse 29 and just underline that phrase, brought it as a free will offering, and just write over and above in the margin. This was over and above their normal giving. This is a very important distinction to draw as we come to a time like this. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about the importance of regularly scheduled, disciplined giving as a means to foster a generous heart in us. And the Bible makes this clear distinction between tithes and free will offerings. It's important for us to understand. Tithing is that regular, planned generosity that shapes our heart toward God's heart. The word tithe means a tenth, so it's a regular percentage of your income that you're giving to God. And then offerings are those gifts that you choose to give over and above your regular tithe. I want to be really clear that this commitment that you're making today should be over and above your normal giving. If you just swap out amounts and you're like, oh, this is a more compelling thing over here, or look at this bright, shiny initiative to give to over here. You understand that if everyone does that, we don't get to do any of this. If we don't continue to operate and accomplish our basic mission as a church, we won't be able to chase this vision that God has given us. And so, we're not going to go into financial crisis to accomplish these things. This text is clear that their giving to the temple was a free will offering over and above their normal tithes. If I could make us just pinky swear today, I would do it, okay? We're not going to shift our giving. We're not going to shift our giving, okay? This is over and above our normal giving. Here's the fifth lesson. We commit to give publicly. So if you go back up to verse 5 where it says, take from among you a contribution to the Lord, just underline that word contribution and write publicly. This word contribution means literally to raise up. The old King James Version, they called it the heave offering. You would actually heave it up for all to see, showing the rest of the congregation that you were all in. Now, we're not going to get too weird about this and like make you hold and wave your pledge cards in the air and wave it like you just don't care, anything like that. But we do think it's a powerful moment for us as a church to get up out of our seats, to move forward, and to give during these moments. When we take the normal offering, the bags normally kind of come to you. But for special occasions like this, there's a publicness to it. I think we help to inspire each other toward obedience and generosity when there's movement of some kind. And so for our commitment time today, we're going to get out of our seats. We're going to move forward toward the front as we bring our gifts and pledges toward this vision. Now, I think Exodus 35 provides a pretty cool model for us to follow as we come to our time of commitment today. And I want to just hone in on two more concepts before we reach that time. The first is the concept of sacrifice. We give sacrificially because God gave sacrificially to us first. And you know what's interesting? There are two sides of sacrifice. There's a pain side and there's a joy side. Sacrifice, the definition just means to give up something of value for the sake of something else that has greater value. So sacrifice doesn't mean giving up something for nothing. It's giving up one thing for something else down the road that we believe to be worth more. And so, for example, these teams that are in March Madness right now in this basketball season, right? They sacrificed a lot. They were running wind sprints at 6 a.m. back in September and lifting weights and practicing when no one was watching. But that wasn't for nothing. They gave up lots of stuff. They gave up their time and energy and comfort and extra sleep and all that. But it wasn't for nothing. It was so that when March comes around, they'd still be playing now under the bright lights, right? And so there's a pain side, but there's also a joy side. Even Jesus, think about the pain that Jesus endured. But Hebrews 12:2 tells us, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Pain and joy. And so, yes, there's a pain side to sacrifice. There's a pain side to financial sacrifice, the one that we're making today. You might have to give up something or delay something. Maybe you say, you know, we're not going to buy that new car that we were going to. We're going to hold off. Or that new house. We're not going to do that in the next 3 years. Maybe you have to downsize and just say, you know what, our plan is to sell a bunch of stuff. That this will be a good excuse for us to even simplify our lives anyway and give the proceeds away. Or let go of some perks that you've gotten used to in life. Do you realize that if you go to Starbucks every day and spend $5 to $6, that adds up to almost $2,000 per year? That's like a $6,000 pledge to this thing over 3 years. We read about this a couple weeks ago, that people in the early church, they were selling lands and houses and fields. Why? Why? Why would we endure the pain side of sacrifice? Well, because there's a joy side too. There's something in the end that's worth more than what it is you're giving up. And so I want you to get this picture in your mind today. Do it one more time for me. Picture some people in your mind, okay? This vision is all about people. It's about souls. So get a picture of some of the people that you love in your mind. Maybe family or friends, maybe a neighbor or a coworker. But right now, as those names are coming in, there are thousands of names and faces all across Grace Church. Now, I want you to think of someone from downtown Erie, maybe, that you've met. And maybe a leader or a resident, maybe someone you've served or served alongside of. Now picture some of the faces that you've seen either in person or in pictures and videos of people in villages around our churches in Haiti or the DR or the bustling streets of Japan. Guys, we have a chance today to make sure that hundreds and thousands of those names and faces that you've pictured, including those who are closest and dearest to your heart, will all get a shot to meet Jesus. We'll get a chance to have a purpose-filled life. We'll take a chance on hope when maybe they've never even risked hoping for anything before with their lives. Because life, every single life, is better with Jesus at the center. That person with Jesus, that's the joy side. Countless lives reached and changed by Christ, that's the joy side. And so here's the question. What sacrifice on your part would be worth that person's life, their eternal destiny? It's the pain side and the joy side of sacrifice. The second concept that I want you to bring to mind is that's just the chance to pay it forward. Some of you have been coming to Grace for a while and you've been on the receiving end, and it's incredible that you're here. We're really, really thrilled that you're part of our Grace Church family. But I want to remind you of something today. I want to remind you that the parking spot that you pulled into and the building that you walked into, the music that inspires you, the messages that guide you, the seat that awaits you week after week, the children's space that helps your kids grow, the awesome experience that your junior and senior high students get to be a part of, this online ministry that you may be watching at home, that stuff was all made possible because someone sacrificed for you. It means that years ago, I stood before a different group of people and challenged them to give, and they didn't know you yet. They couldn't picture your face yet, but they gave so that you could experience all of those things and to meet with God in those spaces. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to return the favor. How many of you know that things aren't getting radically better in our society? They're not getting radically better in our city or in our world right now. Anybody notice this on the news lately? I mean, it seems like things are getting progressively worse, more divided, more corrupt, more lost, more dark. But in the midst of all of that, here's what I know. When people put God at the center of their lives, when people find a great church, when people surround themselves with Christian friends, when day by day they start walking in the way of Jesus, those people dramatically increase their chances of emerging from the darkness and entering into a purposeful and hope-filled life. Jesus said the solution to this dark world is the church. He said, I will build my church. He didn't say he'd build a school. He didn't say he'd build a government or a nonprofit. He said, I will build my church. And so now, through his church, we get to pay it forward. to people in our circles, our Jerusalem. We get to say, I'm going to give so that I can get better, so that I can get trained and more confident in my faith, so that I can reach my circle, these people who are closest to me. And I'm going to give so that thousands more people can come to our sites. And I'm going to give to raise the spiritual water level in our city. And I'm going to give so that our churches and partners around the world can extend hope and grace to more and more people, so that more kids can have the basics of life. I'm going to pay it forward. You know, one of the key images of this campaign is a drop of water and the ripple that's formed. You can see it in the Transform logo. It's just a tiny drop of water. And the four circles that we're talking about are like ripples. And guys, what we do today will have a ripple effect for years and even generations to come. And so I won't ever apologize for standing before you and urging you to leverage your treasures, all that you have, to extend the kingdom of God in our lifetime. And it's going to take all of us. But I love that when God wanted to do something great, he would use the most unlikely people. When God wanted to feed 20,000 people, he didn't ask rich people to underwrite it. He asked a regular little boy to give up his lunch. He said, "What do you have there? I can use that." And can you imagine that boy's fears and questions? "Yeah, but this is my lunch. I mean, this is the only thing I have to eat today. You know, now what am I going to do for lunch?" Okay, do you hear how small those questions sound to those of us who know the end of the story? Jesus didn't need that kid's lunch. He could have materialized all the food in the world out of the thin air. But because that little boy had an open-handed approach to his stuff, and he was willing to give it up for the kingdom, Jesus took that boy on a joyride of faith. He included him in the miracle. And he wants to do the same with us. When you give sacrificially, you get to be a part of the miracle that God is doing in our midst. Not as a passive bystander. When you give, you're an active participant in the miracle of transformation. And all of you who come forward today with your commitments, big and small, you get to participate in the miracle that Jesus is going to do in our midst over these next 3 years. I love you guys. I'm thrilled to be a part of this with you. Your host is going to come now and walk you through this time.